direction in a sea of chaos. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon as we open the Word of God.
Very grateful that you've tuned in to this Friday session of Abounding Grace Radio. And this is really part two to this discussion that I began last week on worship. And this is a very important discussion to have in our day, understanding what true biblical worship is. Everybody to some degree has probably been through the worship wars, and it's Paul says there are a lot of things going on in the church today that have an appearance of godliness, but deny the power thereof. It's not real. It may seem to be powerful, but it's not. And we should care very much about our brothers and sisters in our communities involved in churches that are having worship practices that are disobedient to the Word of God. Remember that principle that Hebrews gives. Now that we have this access, now that we're brought boldly, we're not kept out by a temple veil. We're in the face of God. Therefore, we should have what? Reverence and awe in our worship. That's what he says. Let us worship God, Hebrews says, with reverence and with awe, for our God is a consuming fire. That's the New Testament. So, we care very much. Being good Bereans, we have to what? Test the spirits to see whether they be of God. Search the scripture to see whether the things that are being pushed upon us by leaders today are biblical. So, take a typical given Sunday. We have all these creative sermon series that people have. Going off-roading with God, satisfaction guaranteed. You have numerous of these kind of things going on a given Sunday. So how does the lights, the drums, the cameras, the espresso bar, all these sort of things, the equipment up front, the show that's in front of you, the theater-driven approach, how does it all really reverence a holy God who is a consuming fire? We have to think carefully today that our practices are just too American. They're too suburban, actually. They're too narcissistic. So there are two very serious errors that we have to consider. The first error is a wrong view of God. It's a denial of the creature-creator distinction. In this denial, God's revelation of himself in his distinctiveness from his creatures is rejected as he is refashioned into those things that make us feel comfortable about him. Simply stated, if God created us in his image, worship today has tried to return the favor and create him back into our fallen image, making a God that we feel comfortable with. John Calvin once lamented the problem of people corrupting the knowledge of the true God by refusing to submit to a proper fear and reverence of him. He writes, "For them, wishing nothing to be lawful for God beyond what their own reason prescribes for themselves." In other words, the conscience, the dictates of their own hearts dictates how they approach God. J. Gretchen Machen described the problem years ago this way in his book, Christianity and Liberalism, written in the 1920s. The truth is that liberalism has lost sight of the very center and core of the Christian teaching. In the Christian view, God, as set forth in the Bible, there are many elements. But one element of God is absolutely fundamental in the Bible. One attribute is absolutely necessary in order to render intelligible all of the rest. That attribute is the awful transcendence of God. From beginning to end, the Bible is concerned to set forth the awful gulf that separates the creature from the Creator. What do you think makes sinners feel uncomfortable about a pure spirit who is infinitely perfect? It's not hard to discern. In other words, what makes us uncomfortable about a holy God? Any attribute that speaks of his transcendence, his justice, his holiness, his righteousness, will be viewed as something of an affront to a lifestyle driven by narcissism. Using Machen's phrase, how do you think a conception of going off-roading with God, you have these sermon series today, comports to his awful transcendence? How does it fit the principle of true worship? By those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified. You see, nothing about worship today really gives us the sense anymore of God's transcendence. People will do everything in worship. Imaginary conversations with God as if he's just one of us. Prompting people to dress down, to enjoy videos, to frequent the espresso stand, to have on Super Bowl Sunday, skip church and have a beer. Don't be legalistic about your Christianity. This is the kind of stuff that's going on today. Putting all this together, it doesn't take much to discern what has happened. You ready? People are running. People are escaping from the way God has revealed himself in his word in order to find a God that meets their own felt needs in a non-threatening way. The basic assumption today is simply that we just need a good amount of encouragement for our journeys, that if you try out God, he'll work out for you. Now, this is an amazing thing of what's happened, isn't it? We've treated God like he's a product in our life. You know, the other day I was in the supermarket and I saw this advertisement for a teeth whitening product. Satisfaction guaranteed. I was interested because, you know, prolonged coffee drinking has darkened my teeth. The first thing I did was check the price. That stuff was expensive. If they really want to sell me that product, the price has got to be slashed. I'm looking for the Safeway card discount. Further, I expect it to work for what I have determined is my need. As the customer, I reign sovereign and supreme over my need of what I purchase with my money. This marketing strategy has overrun the church. What happens when God is marketed this way? What are the consequences? What does it presume is my greatest need? You know, think about the idea. If you follow God, we guarantee. If you come and you go off-roading with God, we guarantee satisfaction in your life. As the marketer, you have to please the customer. If God and his church are being marketed like a product, you got to sell them. You can't identify them with those things that the consumer might find offensive or unattractive. It's got to be packaged well for the people's use because that's how products sell. What happens? If the customer is sovereign over what he's buying with regard to God, he certainly will not select a view of God that emphasizes his justice, his holiness, his righteousness, will he? The attribute that is most pleasing to the customer will drown out all the rest. And in today's church market, it's the single attribute of God's love and acceptance by which God is defined to the demise of all of the rest of his attributes, especially his justice. First, further, if the customer is sovereign over what he's buying, when it comes to the church, anything formal, anything serious, structured, churchy, are things viewed as hindrances to the perception of God that has already been created in your minds. In other words, if God has been made only into a God of love, you can't have practices that conform to any of those attributes of God that you dislike. That would create a perceived inconsistency between what you're trying to sell and what your product looks like. So what goes? Humility, formality, seriousness, reverence, awe, fear, trembling, formal dress, all these things are viewed as hindrances to the way we've refashioned God in our imagination. And now, since God has been refashioned this way, certain practices once appropriate to a proper view of God in viewing all of his perfections as simultaneously true of him do not correspond to what the marketer is marketing to the people. The practices out of accord with your redefined view of God have to be shed at all costs to keep your market. Therefore, if God has been marketed only with those attributes that are non-offensive to us, we have to rid ourselves of all the other practices that conform to those very attributes of Him that we dislike. In this scenario, dear listener, it's no wonder that the worship services are turned into a theater. It corresponds to the God you've created in your own imagination. So where does it leave you? If you've ridded God of those attributes that you dislike, what happens to your view of what you need and who you are? To be certain, we will never be in pursuit of the gospel. Why? Because the only way the Christian gospel has any real meaning to us is when there's a proper appreciation for God's holiness and justice. The Bible tells us that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are under His just wrath. The only way anyone escapes the wrath to come is by faith alone in Christ, whose righteousness is freely imputed to all who heartily trust in Him for salvation. But it's only when we are properly confronted with our misery, our sin, in the face of a holy God and His justice, that we are then prepared to submit ourselves to what He says is our greatest need. Now, if we are treated as the consumers, refashioning God into our image, what then becomes of our need? If things aren't all that bad, suggesting that our major problem is just the bumps of life, the hardships of life, the extent of the solution becomes something just practical to help us stay on the path. That's what happens in the sermons today. You're given sort of off-roading observations, just calling you to stay focused in life, you know? People have made bad decisions along the way. You need to learn. Check your attitude. Don't get too far off the path. Think positive. Don't you see what's happened? There's nothing life-giving in that. There's no power in it. Because Christ, as a savior from sin, is absent. As Michael Horton has said, the cure is only as radical as the disease. If our greatest problem is just getting derailed from life's path, all we need is a new moral compass. But this doesn't reconcile needy sinners to God. See, we often hear nothing of, as Paul said, Christ and Him crucified. The apostle was clear about this to the Corinthians. His speech and preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that their faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Couldn't we paraphrase this today by saying, when I came to you, I didn't use videos, I didn't use espresso bars, I didn't use dramas, I didn't use bands, I didn't use liturgical dances, I didn't put cars up on stage to try to get you into it. I didn't use any of these things purposely so that your faith should not be in the marketing of men, but in the power of God. It's God who identifies for us in His Word who He is, who we are, and what we need. God is not a product to be used, nor is His gospel. Nor has anyone ever been manipulated into the kingdom by gimmicks. As David Wells says, the gospel calls us not to use it, but to submit to the God of the universe through His Son. When we accept Christ, He's not there for our use, but we are there for His service. It's tragic to state today that we are in desperate need to go back to the basics, understanding and submitting to what God has revealed of Himself and of us. As Hosea lamented in his day, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." Whose people? Aren't God's people today in these churches being destroyed by pastoral cruelty because of a lack of a preaching of the cross? It's my prayer that all Christians today would appeal to the Lord's mercies and remember when Jesus prayed, "This is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent." Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible sincerely believed and faithfully preached. As always, we give you an invite to join us for worship 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's Days. LindenURC.com is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.